Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now celebrating 17 years of broadcasting success, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience and those tuning in online. We're glad you all could join us, too. I'm really excited to welcome Ellen Shane to our program today. She's here to talk to us not only about the great work that she's been able to do through the Emily Shane Foundation, but also what it's been like for her to be a source of inspiration and encouragement to others and to show all of us how we can be able to give back as well as help those in need. Ellen is also celebrating a new book called Emily's Gift, The True Story of Sherlock and Jackson. We'll talk to her about that. And, of course, let you guys know how to stay connected with her. Get your own copy of the book and also follow the work of the foundation. Ellen, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm so grateful to be on your show, so thank you.
Well, the pleasure is definitely all mine. When Steve, our mutual friend, told me about you and the work you were doing, I knew that you were someone I wanted to share with our audience because you're doing a lot of things, Ellen, that we try to be able to encourage our audience to do. For one, to be able, to do what they can to be able to make a difference. You've definitely been able to do that over the past decade, but also showing other people what's possible. So let's kind of begin the conversation there. What has it been like for you, not only through the foundation, but also, Ellen, through your life, to show people what they can be able to do in their own lives?
Well, I think, first of all, I have to preface it by saying that my work and the journey or the road that I'm on now really was precipitated by a tragedy in my life, and that was the tragic murder of our youngest child. And it really set me on a course that I might not have ever traveled had that not happened, interestingly. And so what happened was, our daughter, Emily, she was our youngest. She struggled in school. She was one of those kids who kind of didn't fit the mold. And I learned firsthand, being a very involved parent, that there was really nothing in the school system for a child like her. She was in middle school. She was in the mainstream classroom. She had testing through the school, but she was not someone who was a candidate for any kind of special needs program or IEP. And so she kind of fell in a gray area and truly struggled. In middle school, I ended up turning to outside help because I found it almost impossible to work with her. And anyone who has kids at that age range from around, say, 10, 11, 12, right in there in the middle school years, they are trying to be independent and grown up, and the last thing they want is their parents to kind of be breathing down their necks all day long and when they get home from school about their homework and what's going on. Bottom line is, following her death, I went to her school and asked what was possible for kids like her. So a child in the mainstream public school classroom who's failing or struggling but who cannot afford any kind of outside support. There was nothing. There was nothing on the level at all of what's really needed, because children like this need someone who can work with them intensively one-on-one, understand how they learn, where they're at, what's going on in their life. Sometimes it's a social or home life issue that's also impacting their academic abilities, etc. And so basically, with a middle school teacher who had taught for over 40 years, I crafted this program and started it as a little pilot project at the school where Emily herself went. And it was only one mentor tutor and three students, but it was so successful that that's kind of how the whole thing got started.
Wow.
For me, initially, this work was truly a grief response. It was a way for me to take control of something I had no control over. In other words, when someone dies, that's it. It's final. You can't make it better. You can't fix it. You can't do anything. But yet you can do something. And so the next step or the next ability you have really is to do something that would be significant to them and or keep their memory alive. And in Emily's case, because she herself was so committed to helping others, being kind to others, at a very young age, she was always like this, not only did I have to do something that would be significant to her, but it had to help others. And so this was the perfect thing, because children who fit our profile have no other opportunity to improve academically and often fall off in very negative directions.
Wow. Well, Ellen, I appreciate you sharing that, and I think, Justin, you're sharing that part of your story and your journey will help others. I have to ask you, though, a follow-up to that, though, because I have the privilege over the years on this program to talk to individuals who have been able to, you know, be able to live past a tragedy, to deal with a horrible situation in their lives, to make something out of it that has been impactful. I guess the question I hear a lot of times from others is, how do you do it? So when you kind of look, it's interesting hearing you describe it. So it seemed like it was just a natural thing for you to want to be able to find something that you could do good, I mean, out of a tragedy. How did you find that? What do you think kind of helped you to get to that place?
I think because I felt so helpless in terms of, as I mentioned, not being able to do anything. You know, my daughter was dead, and I had to face that reality and accept it. And to me, it was really important that there be some legacy. She was so young, and I felt also personally that I had to honor her in some way. I had to make a difference for others through her. And really, the motivation was from within. I literally, when I say compelled, it wasn't almost like I had a choice. There was something gnawing at me, like, what can I do? What can I do? I have to do something. And I will tell you that initially, literally the night, that night that she was killed, my husband said, we are going to honor her. And initially, when we first started a website, it was only about people doing good deeds and acts of kindness in Emily's memory. And as often is the case with tragedies or things like this that happen, initially there was a huge response. And then, as is normal, over time people forget, people move on, it kind of started petering out. And what happened was, for you know, you also have to understand that we went through 2 years of trials. So my life was very involved with that process until it ended. And then I was able to really address what I was feeling that I needed to do. And truly, it wasn't someone who came at it, well, I'm going to make a business plan. And no, I was a grieving mother. So I'm going to do this. And I just started figuring out, like, I just did it. I just started putting the pieces together and figuring out what I needed, and I kind of just went for it, and it sort of grew organically. And I have to say that there were these kind of little, what I call little gifts that came my way. For example, a philanthropist whose daughter knew our oldest daughter, he helped give us the initial money that you need to even become a 501c3 nonprofit charity. Yeah, I knew nothing about any of this world. It wasn't like I had a game plan. It was more that I saw a need. I saw a huge need and felt that I had to pursue it and help fill the void, because to me, I do not believe that a child's their parents' economic situation, wherever they're at, should not determine their ability to pave the path to a positive future. And so I became so invested in wanting to correct that. It's not the child's fault if the parent doesn't speak English, if they don't have the educational ability, if they're working several jobs and they don't have the time, and maybe they have more than one child. I've had kids in this program, you know, parents in prison. They're not living with the parents. I could name every situation you could think of. But how unfair is it that they're failing or struggling in school and they can't get the real help they need? Because children, again, who fit our profile, they really need someone to understand them on a one-on-one level. How do they learn? Why are they below grade level? Or why are they struggling and failing? What's going on in their lives? and then they can address what needs to be addressed in order to help them to take the steps necessary to improve. These kids are not stupid. They just haven't had the right help.
Yeah. And here you are being able to help them and also, again, to show other people how they can be able to do the same thing. And that, to me, is so powerful, Ellen, because it reminds us all, again, that we can do what we can where we are. And I think that's a gift in itself. I want to say for those who are just tuning in either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome Ellen Shane to our program today. We're talking to her not only about the work she's been able to do and not only, of course, dealing with her own personal tragedy, but also being able to make a difference in the lives of others through the Emily Shane Foundation. And now, of course, through her brand-new project, a book as well called Emily's Gift. So talk to us about the progression. Here you are now a decade into the foundation, the work there. Ellen, I mean, talk to us about this book and how it came about.
Okay. I just want to say one other thing about what we talked about, and I will tell you.
Oh, yeah,
that.
Sure.
That
yeah.
is, Emily would not have wanted me to be sad and depressed. So I often feel like she was on my shoulder kind of guiding me with what I was doing. The other thing I think it's important to note is we did tie in the good deeds with the C program. That's the name of the program we operate for the middle school kids who are failing the disadvantaged children. And that is that their only quote unquote cost of participation is that they have to do one good deed or act of kindness for every session they have with their mentor, tutor, so that we're sort of embracing the foundation's pass it forward motto. As far as the book goes, the truth is that I had a dream. And in this dream, I literally saw the entire book. And Cyrus, it was almost like I was being given a message. And I woke up immediately after I turned the last page and saw the end. And my husband, who was still half asleep, and I said, oh my goodness, I have to write this book. And he didn't know what I was talking about. And of course, I told him about the dream. And this was in 2012. It took me a long time to make it a reality.
Wow. And, you know, let's tie that into what you were saying to me before we went on the air here, because I think, you know, the other thing is it seems like you are continuing to be able to find ways, Ellen, to be able to inspire others, to get other people to seeing their own value, to see what they can achieve. I have to ask you, how does that feel? I didn't ask you that question. How does that feel to know that by your being on this path, by your doing this work and making the decision to do it, that you've been able to impact the lives of these individuals and change what could have been a negative outcome and made it a positive one?
I will tell you that as I started to, when I first was talking, that when I first started this work, it was really a grief response, and it was something I could throw myself into, keep myself busy with. It was challenging, and that kind of fed a need. But as time has gone on, and I don't remember when the shift really happened, and I love that it's in Emily's memory, but what inspires me and motivates me and keeps me working so hard are the results. When you see, and it doesn't matter what you're doing, but in my specific case, when I see the difference it makes for a child, whether it's them improving academically significantly or even a little, or even sometimes more so to me, seeing them go from being depressed, unhappy with themselves, heading in a negative direction, to turning that around, or to feeling good about themselves, because there may be no one else telling them, you know, you matter, or you can do this, or I believe in you. We all need to hear that. And so for me, the greatest reward is seeing the difference it makes for these children. And I will tell you, there is no amount of money, and I'm sure you know this yourself, that you can pay somebody that would provide the feeling within your being that comes from making a difference for someone who otherwise would never have had that opportunity. It's really quite something.
And I think, you know, as people are kind of looking, we're in interesting times right now. Ellen. I think that's an understatement in many ways when it comes to this year. But I think to know, though, that it doesn't have to define them. Is that also something that you find yourself sharing, that where you are now, what you're dealing with, does not have to define you or what you can achieve moving forward?
That's right. I think we're all evolving and growing over time. And we may shift direction, we may shift path or priorities. And I think that's kind of the process of life. I love doing this work. It fulfills me, it makes me happy, and it's rewarding. But as you're saying, I'm grateful to be able to doing it. Do I know what I'm going to be doing down the road? Or, there's different paths that I think we can all take. And I think the important thing is to listen carefully to what speaks to us.
Yeah. And I love what you said earlier about the SEEK program, being able to pass it forward. You know, and that's something that all of us can be able to do. And we can do it in different degrees. You know, we all cannot do the same thing, but we can do what we can do. And I think being able to do that. So what is your hope, Ellen, as people are discovering the work of the foundation or learning about this book, but also learning about what you've been able to achieve and the impact you've been able to make? What do you hope they're able to do where they are?
For other people, you're saying?
Yes.
Wow. Well, first of all, I hope they buy the book and look up our foundation. And I would, one of my dreams is to be able to expand it, because we have a pretty big footprint here in Los Angeles and Ventura County, but we're really tiny. And I've always dreamt of having the resources and recognition to be able to expand this. Because, and we do have a replicable model, but the reason is that I guarantee you, if you go into any middle school classroom, I guarantee you there are kids who fit this profile. And so, my dream, I guess, or what I would love is to see it being able to reach the many who are in need and aren't having the opportunity to receive it. And interestingly, with this whole COVID situation, one of the kind of silver linings is that now I can possibly increase the people who can act as resources, our mentor tutors, because at this time with online school, they could be anywhere. And as long as they're vetted and trained and qualified, all that, they can work with these children. I'll say one other thing, and that is that, yes, we focus on middle school because Emily herself was in middle school. But to me, it's a very critical time. Because if someone's below grade level, struggling, doesn't know how to organize, doesn't know how to study properly, all those things, it's a great time where it's kind of not too late. And it doesn't mean it is too late in high school, but it is so much easier to address and rectify. If you can get a child on track, up to speed, understanding, knowing the skills they need to be a successful student, and then they start high school on a really solid footing, their chances of success are far greater. And I believe in this day and age, at the minimum, you need to finish middle school and high school. Whatever you're going to do in your life, doesn't matter. Those are kind of prerequisites for a path to a positive future.
Well, I tell you, it's great work that you've been able to do, Ellen, and a great example for all of us as to what's possible. Again, everyone, Ellen Shane has been our guest. She's been talking with us not only about the work she's been able to do through the Emily Shane Foundation, but also now as the author of the new book that we discussed here, Emily's Gift. You can be able to get your own copy of it and stay connected with the foundation. Ellen, how can they do that? How can they be able to find out more information about the book and get their copy?
Sure. They can either go to our website, EmilyShane.org, or they can go to KP Publishing and under children's books, and they'll see it there.
Okay. So make sure you guys definitely take advantage of that. For those who are joining us via the podcast, we'll make sure that we link that for you guys to be able to click on. Ellen, thank you so much for the time today. I really do appreciate you stopping by and looking forward to having you back on the program again.
Thank you. I would love the opportunity, and thank you so much for today. I really appreciate it.
The pleasure's definitely all mine, the honor as well. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Let's make today amazing. Take care.